All right. So the first question here, just for conversation here, and we don't have an overwhelming crowd here, so I think we're okay. We won't speak over one another, but it would be good to share if you're open to it. You don't have to. How you're feeling about the vaccine? Are you, the question for Wired Word is, are you planning on?
Yes.
No.
Carol, what do you got?
No. No. I'm not convinced at all that that the vaccine is particularly effective if because of the nature of the virus and its mutation, ever pin it down, and that isn't too different than the seasonal flu that we're getting vaccinated for. And I think there might be some real discrimination for those who have been vaccinated and those who haven't. You're going to have the big V on your forehead. When you go out in public or invited into any home or group, are you vaccinated? Might become the question of the day. And you're going to have, you know, are we going to prove that? Carry some kind of documentation? I don't know. I can just
How about
see
a tattoo?
Yeah, a tattoo, of course. Big red V. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Carol, I reacted to your to one thing, and that is the mutations happen when they replicate. If you're at a low level of infections, there's lower chance of it mutating. So your argument saying I'm not getting a vaccination because it's going to mutate anyway, get it ever. But that doesn't help other people. Okay, you getting a vaccine is helping other people. You have to understand that. Same as a mask. You wear a mask to protect other people. So that's why you need to vaccinate. So reconsider, Carol.
Also, the data they have on the vaccines is that it's 90 to 95% effective. So they've got good data on the effectiveness. What people, I think, is a more realistic reason to be hesitant about it is that it takes a lot longer and larger samples to get data about how safe the vaccine is and whether it might cause side effects, because those tend to happen in smaller numbers of people, and it's harder to get good statistics. That being said, I'd go down and get the vaccine today if it was available. In fact, I'd even go get it today if I could do it as part of a research study.
I was going to say I don't have any problem with it, and I'd rather take a chance of having a side effect than getting coronavirus. I don't want to be one of those people that dies by myself. Don't want it.
So this is interesting because I think in just this phone call alone, we see the divide that as the country is split, our congregation is probably 50-50 on this subject. So anybody else want to speak into that? The getting a vaccine, getting the vaccination?
I probably will get it. As to the two shots, my shingles shot, I have to have another one here in a week, you know, so I think I'm responsible for that, not anybody else. And if I don't take care of that and I get the shingles, it's my fault, not the governor's or whoever. But, you know, I think that in this technology age we have, the biggest fear is that it takes 10 years to develop a vaccine. You know, that's what you read in the news and what, and it does take a long time, but we have new technologies today that I think the safety level is probably up there in that 95 or higher. Obviously, even to those shots, not a lot, but there is a percentage out there. So And mutating, Bob, we have immunity to the virus from reproducing and then genetically changing its DNA.
Yeah.
So I'll try to talk Carol into getting her shot.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck, Oscar. Good luck.
Yeah, right. I can head off to, I just got a call from Aaron. Yeah. We'll see you.
Yeah. So, thanks. I am going to get vaccinated. I'll share that with everyone. I will get vaccinated. I'm hoping that one of the side effects is that it grows hair as well. That there's a positive. Carol says no. Oh, all right.
I got enough.
Right. You want to have hair where you want it.
Okay.
Don't exactly. Just ask for hair.
Yes. Hair.
Well, it might be nice if they could do the book you read. You mentioned that one of the biggest challenges is that you need two doses. There are a lot of medications you can get now that come in an auto injector pen. And if you could get the first dose at the clinic and they send you home with the second dose and you can take that at home, and you don't have to, then they don't have to try and schedule people and.
I think that depends on whether you have the one that has to be
the shelf life.
The cold has to be cold for a certain amount of
They probably would need to be stored in the refrigerator, but most people have a refrigerator at home that they could store it in.
Well, the one vaccine though requires like
sub-zero, but that's really
that might be a complication that wouldn't make that possible, but
put it in the freezer. Jonathan, I'm trying to say it. This rumor I heard about the professional athletes, is there a way that you know how to find that out?
Not off the top of my head. I'd say it's very unlikely because the only way that all the professional athletes could have it is if they were all part of a research study on it. And I can't imagine that they are the group to choose to do a research study or that they could, that they'd be part of one like that. I suppose it's possible, but
it's unlikely too. I've got a couple of friends. I have a couple of friends that play in the NBA. And the NBA, that's the basketball professional league. They tested all the players. 550 players, about 50 tested positive just this week, 1/10. So it tells you, the basketball players haven't, they don't have, they're.
I find it very hard to believe they go that direction before they went to the healthcare workers
I think we live in a time of let's just make up a story and put it out there and see how many people believe it.
Well, I think you're right.
There's all kinds of weird things people believe now.
Well, that's the hard part, Bob. And this gets to Bob's point. The truth factor is it's really hard these days because there's so much in the world and. It's very hard to pin that down. So let's transition to another part of this discussion, which is what Jonathan mentioned, which is you get your first dose and then you have to wait 3 or 4 weeks. Let's talk about persistence is going to be a big issue, whether you're getting the vaccine or not. What about persistence? Can you think of a time in your life where that characteristic trait was rewarded for what you did?
Diet. Okay.
Tell us about that, Bob, because you had to make some changes.
Yeah, I had to make some changes, and it took me a long time, but we get through it.
The story of our lives. But actually what happened was after, Bob's was able to get off. Now he has another condition and he's back on insulin because of a diet change and exercise.
Mm-hmm. But that's something you have to stick to it and stay with it and be persistent.
Yeah. It takes a lot of persistence.
It does. How are we doing with persistence? That's true that I have heard more. Well, on Tuesday, he actually died. And he's on our prayer list at church. His name's Ian Crosby. He ended up dying of alcoholism. He lost his job in March at OSU. And just the anxiety of losing the job and the lockdown really pushed him into severe alcoholism. And he was hospitalized and actually died Wednesday. So for those people that are very anxious filled and struggling with what's happening, I think, you know, as I look on the screen, I see it, and I always see this at church. I feel like I preach to the choir at church. The people I'm looking at are really persistent people and have been patient and have developed all these wonderful traits the Bible offers, but we're living in a culture and time where persistence is almost impossible for some people. Reflect on that?
To me, the opposite of persistence is fatalism. And I think there are a lot of people that just don't care anymore. Or it's too difficult to care anymore. And so you either retreat into yourself or into a bottle or whatever. But I think there's a lot of sense to that.
But if you're a single mom, you lost your job, can't feed your family, you have 8 to 3 hours in line to food. It's really hard for me to relate to that because I've never been there, but I can't imagine
persisting through that.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that's like.
Great comments. Yeah.
I think the church for me has shown great persistence. I would like to be able to do more, but the team and the people that you have trying to keep us all going, the phone call once a month, the little packets you send out, the weekly note from you, Pastor, in the email. All these things take a lot of persistence, and I really appreciate that. And so I think I'm trying to be persistent in appreciation
You know, it seems to me that kind of the core of this idea of persistence is that in the Christian faith, stress is not a bad thing. Stress can be a good thing that develops good character and growth. And I think a good passage that speaks to that is this Romans 5. It says this, we want to think about how is stress a positive thing in what's shared here in Romans 5. It says this: not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance and character produces hope. Paul's kind of getting that there's a long process to getting to hope, and part of that process is stress and suffering. So here's a question: when have you experienced a time of suffering, but then found out that it led to but then it actually later on, wow, that was a time of growth for me?
When Garth had his accident, he was the one that was suffering, but I did too. And I hadn't been in the business world a real long time, but I had been there enough to be able to cope. But it also, in our more or less changing roles, I learned to cope. I learned a lot. And I think I'm sorry about the accident, but I became able to do a whole lot more than I had before.
And that was a long process.
It was, but I learned. And Garth never said, why did this happen to me? Or if this hadn't happened. And so even though I was learning a lot, I was still learning a lot from him.
All of that. And you might not be where you are today.
I think that's very true. And I think I would be in a real bad place today. So, yeah, I agree.
All right. Something thinking about is the thing about this last week, that pretty much with all the people that Jesus calls in the Bible, they go through a process of being cozy. They're first of all cozy, they're comfortable, period of stress because their life is changing. But then the next step is they then become disciples. So in some ways, the worst place to be is to just be cozy and comfortable. Mm-hmm. Jesus pushes us to, as following him is, you know, part of that process is being stressed and strained. I find personally that I'd rather be cozy and comfortable.